Thank you to Lily and to Rafe as well for bringing us the meteors live from Ledbury. Every time it takes me to my room. I do have to say, though, it was quite weird me being faced with a massive version of myself staring back at me. I need to get over that. Right.
Now, Midnight Mastermind.
Indeed. Normally, I would say, oh, new week, especially after being on holiday. It's a new set of scores, but absolutely no way, because the last time, and it was the end of a five-day week, I'd been in for Phil, I'd done the Sunday, it was all a bit different. I'd actually ended up with three full houses on the trot. It was the triple-triple. They don't happen often. But what is up for grabs then this morning, and it's the scores continue, is the quadruple-triple. If it has happened, it's happened once in the time I've done this show. So what's that? Nearly 7 years. So let's see how we go this morning by seeing who's asking the questions. Hello, what is your name?
Hello, okay, I'm Paul, calling from Glasgow.
Ooh, okay, Paul. Have you seen any meteors or shooting stars outside this evening?
I've seen some lampposts. I looked a few times, but I still saw the same lamppost.
The problem is, I've been outside and I've tried to look here on the Soft Riviera. If there's a lot of light pollution, you've got no chance.
Basically. I'm there. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Paul, what are we doing? What's the specialist subject?
The specialist subject for you tonight is dyspraxia.
Dyspraxia?
You might also see it referred to as developmental coordination disorder, but dyspraxia is the British term, and that should be... You're going to get as much as you're going to get from it.
Okay, right then. Well, I would stay there for me, buddy. I would play one song and then three questions on dyspraxia after this from Bowie. The message for the Debbie Bowie there, and Ashes to Ashes, the music stops, so I shall shut down this web browser on dyspraxia, for that is this morning's subject. It's Paul in Glasgow asking me the questions, Paul. And why are we doing this? Why this subject?
So I'm dyspraxic, and I was diagnosed about 10 years ago, and I found the diagnosis to be really liberating, and it helps me accept myself more. But there's loads of people that don't know what dyspraxia is, and I love your show, so I've previously moonlighted as an angry typist, and I thought I'd step up and actually ask you some questions.
Well, I love this, so thank you so much for coming on, and thank you for listening, obviously, as well. You said 10 years ago you got diagnosed with dyspraxia. Was that an adult thing? Were you an adult at this point?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm in my 40s now, and I was in my 30s, and I was having memory problems and sleep problems, and I don't even know how I ended up in this NHS clinic getting diagnosed with that, but it was part of a journey which has since gone on, and it's really liberating, because I just regarded myself as being clumsy, and it's like, oh, no matter how hard I try, I'm still going to bump into people. And the fact that I get food stains down my shirt, not a problem. I don't have to blame myself. I can just be relaxed about it now.
So is that the liberation then? When you learn this, that there is a name for the fact that you got your food down your shirt, you bump into people, and that's the liberation?
Yeah, absolutely. Because no matter how many times people say, oh, just try harder, it's like, I mean... Well, come on, it presents differently in different people, but for me, it's just never going to work. And there's 20 things I could be doing better. Rather than trying to fix this one thing by trying harder, I could be being successful in 20 different areas.
Yeah.
So why spend the time just trying to fix something which is just not going to be very productive?
Well, and I think that's a really great way to approach it. And I'm loath to ask any more questions, only because I don't want to ruin it if you're about to ask me one. But I think this is a great subject, because I think it's great that we all know more about these things, especially at times like this. So let me set the mood.
Midnight Mastermind.
Which I've now done, Paul. Radio 2 is all yours. Three questions on dyspraxia. I am ready for you. Let's have this.
Cool. Okay. So you hopefully know that dyspraxia is a condition that affects movement and coordination in children and adults. Quite often it can be thought, we've covered this, but anyway, I wrote down the script so I wouldn't forget the questions. Quite often it can be thought as particularly clumsy, both physically and with words. We process things differently. So the question, how many people, as a percentage, are thought to have dyspraxia?
Okay, so I thought this might be a question. I've written it down. Worryingly, I then went on another website just as the music was running out, and they said a different percentage. So I'm going to go with the first one, because I'm pretty sure it was off the NHS.
Was it?
Or was it not? No, it wasn't. It was on a... Anyway, I'll go for it. 10% of the UK population.
It's a good number. So actually, you, what's the other percentage you saw?
7%.
Cool. So actually, this was an easy question. Yeah, I was going to allow you everything from 2% to 10%. So 2% is for the really severe people. Consensus seems to be about consensus is about 5% generally, but I've also seen up to 10%.
Okay, so that's right.
So
all right.
Yeah, it is absolutely right. And the point being that it displays in different people differently. So it's not a hard line.
No,
basically,
when I saw that number, I must admit I was surprised that it's, you know, as you say, it's somewhere between 2% and 10%. But that is a large number. And how many of these people would know that they had dyspraxia, do you think?
A very, very small amount, basically, because it also gets hidden and rolled into other issues that people have.
Okay. Interesting. Very interesting.
And that's kind of part of the reason why I'm doing this, because I managed to get to 30. I mean, when I did hurdles as a kid, the teacher used to move the hurdles out of the way from my lane and just let me run down. And I was still slower than everyone else.
Oh, Paul, well, you see, but that's why this is good to get diagnosed and to have this knowledge, and as you say, liberating. Yeah. Let's do question two.
Cool. Can you name, so this is to get your thinking, can you name three reasonable accommodations that people with dyspraxia might find useful in the workplace or even in our home life?
A less cluttered environment.
Yeah, they absolutely. When I reach for things, I knock things over, so just fewer things in the shelves will mean that less spillages, less breakages.
So that, it would be, I mean, the problem is it's probably the same sort of thing. Oh, maybe not. What? Wider doorways? That's probably not a thing, is it?
No. That's it.
Yeah. Okay, because I thought it was something similar. Accommodation in the workplace would be the tolerance of workmates, knowing that you have dyspraxia and just to be tolerant of it and to be aware of it.
Pushing it. I mean, we'll give you half a point overall so far.
Yeah, okay.
But I mean, tolerance and embracing and all that is really, really, really important. But I'm looking for concrete examples.
Okay, specialist, if you're using a keyboard or using a telephone, it would be specialised telephones or keyboards which help if you've got dyspraxia?
Yeah, I'll sort of take that. I'll take it. I'm generous mood. You're back from holiday, still recovering. So what you could have gone for there is like, and also actually your point about people being tolerant, actually, you know, I should have said that is actually the most important thing that people can be, failing anything else, just being like, other people are different. If it's not a big thing, just get on with it.
Yeah, to understand it.
But yeah, but as like voice dictation, because like using a keyboard might be challenging or just awkward, so something like using voice dictation software. A couple of other ones, if I may.
Yeah.
Headphones. If you're inside a noisy office, sometimes it's just headphones so that you can concentrate. And or at home, electric razor rather than a manual one, so you don't bleed so much.
That is another very good one.
Last one I'm going to give you, because the story's amazing. Arms on a chair. So there's a girl called Victoria Biggs, and I'll mention her again later probably. And she was in a science class, and she discovered, and she found that she had, so you know the science chairs are quite tall in the science labs, and she found that if she had arms on her chairs, she didn't have to worry about falling off her chair. So suddenly her grades massively improved, because she could actually focus on the lesson being given rather than just not falling off the chair.
And that's those sort of things that until you have that, children, you know, kids at school will be like, oh my God, I can't concentrate, it doesn't work for me. And then something as simple as that then improves the grades. So was I right or wrong there, Paul?
Yeah, go for it.
Hey!
Absolutely.
I'm taking it, which means that the full house is on. Let's go, final question.
Okay. So dyspraxia is just one type of condition or even way of being called neurodivergency. The interesting thing is that if you have one of these, you're really likely to have at least one other. Can you name two other common types of neurodivergency?
ADHD.
Yes.
And I'm going to get the name wrong, dysphagia.
Dysphagia, I haven't heard of, or it doesn't immediately come to mind, but
it
sounds very plausible.
Well, no, I'm possibly pronouncing it wrong. It's the same way that you, if you have dyspraxia, it's the same way with speech.
Yeah, I think probably it's not on my list. Can you name any others?
I worry slightly about saying it in case I say something which is offensive. I'm going to say it. Autism.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Totally. 100%.
Okay.
So my list, and it's, again, it's a bit like the definition, it morphs over time. So my list, so the really common ones, ADHD, so dyspraxia, obviously, ADHD, autism, gifted, which is a high intellect thing, dyslexia, dysgraphia, dyscalculia, and Tourette's. So you also said dysphagia. I haven't heard it. It rings a memory. It starts with dys. Most things starting with dys are absolutely yeah. fine. A fun fact, if I can just throw in one fun fact. And this is the surprising thing to me, and why when I was diagnosed with dysphagia, I didn't realise that half the people diagnosed with dysphagia also have ADHD. So massive amounts of co-occurrence there.
Well, that's what I was reading. I was reading the fact that there was a crossover between the two. I'm going to take it, which it is, Paul, it is a full house, which means it's the quadruple triple. Paul, thank you so much for that. I mean, because I think the fact is, people will be listening to that and thinking, am I one of those 10%? Am I clumsy? Or even if not, is the ability just to understand people more, maybe if it's friends, family or people they work with. So, Paul, thank you for bringing that to us this morning.
Pleasure. Can I just make one recommendation? There's Google and there's definitely social media. There's a particular book called Caged in Chaos by Victoria Biggs. And I read that when I was younger. It's also available on audio formats. And it just helped me accept myself so much more. So that's Caged in Chaos by Victoria Biggs for anyone that's particularly interested. And it's written so well because it's about her journey. And she wrote it as a teenager and it's just amazing.
Paul, you're a good man. Thank you so much for bringing it out this morning. Have a great rest of your night. Thank you so much for being part of the Midday Massive. Thank you.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.